Welcome to the Metabolic MD. Health means everything. We all seek optimal health, but most of us do not know how to achieve it. Dr. Paul Kaladzic has spent a career in the emergency department. Now, he helps his patients avoid ever ending up there. During these podcasts, you'll learn how you can lose weight and prevent and reverse disease through new technology, a modified diet, and the use of some new recently approved FDA medications. This information is not meant to be medical advice. Please seek consultation from your own medical provider. Let's listen in.
All right. Welcome back to the Metabolic MD with Dr. Paul Kaladzic. I'm Terry O'Brien, your producer. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have one of his patients, a very young patient. She's 20. Your name is Annalise, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Annalise, tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I am 20 years old. I go to Palm Beach Atlantic. I'm a junior. And I started doing this because I wanted a change in my life, and I wanted something that wasn't temporary. You know, I've done plenty of diets in the past.
Sure.
And I've seen multiple things about this. My uncle has actually developed Mounjaro, which is semaglutide is like, what is it, a substance from it?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom found Dr. Paul on TikTok. We did some research, started to do this, and it's been huge in my life.
Okay, so let's kind of set the stage for the folks.
Mm-hmm.
You are 20 years old.
Yes.
You go to school in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Your starting weight, let's go a year back. What was your starting weight?
Well, before I started this program, like 6 months before that, I was 250. And then I went gluten-free, dairy-free, was working out, you know, 3 hours a day, killing myself in the gym. I lost 20 pounds during that time. And then starting this program, I was 230 at the beginning.
So you went from 230, and just so we get a drum roll to set the stage, where are you right now?
I am 169.3.
All right, folks. So if you can see Annalise, she is absolutely stunning. She looks like a supermodel sitting right here across from us. So you've done very well. Dr. Paul, tell us what you thought when you first met Annalise.
I mean, it was great to have her come in. I work with a number of young patients. You know, and it's satisfying because at that point you can kind of redirect the course of the health for a lifetime.
Correct.
And she, of course, has embraced this wholeheartedly, this approach. And, you know, it's going to prevent, you know, other problems that she might have had as she got older. And, of course, we started with the basics. We started with using the continuous glucose monitor on her arm so she could see what her glucose patterns were.
And what were they? Just so we know, what were the glucose patterns back?
I think you remember spiking to what, 150s or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my average was like 96, 97
yeah.
up there.
Okay. So you gave her CGM. And
right. That's one of the values because people can see when they eat something exactly what is happening to their blood sugar.
Right.
And, you know, as patients have said, once you see that, you can't unsee it. And it really has a tendency to change eating habits and can do that for a lifetime. So we started with Annalise with the CGM program. She did a 2-week trial. We looked at her numbers. One of the big things we should talk about was your insulin level.
Yes. So my freshman year of college, this was 2021, I had been noticing that I was, you know, gaining a lot of weight. It wasn't necessarily because I was eating bad, but I was gaining weight very rapidly. And I just felt like something was off in my body. And so that summer when I came home, I got some blood work done just to see if everything was okay. And my insulin levels came back and I was in the 40s.
And what does that mean? So people know, what does 40 mean?
So 40 is high. A normal level is no higher than 20 or so.
Yeah.
I like to see the insulin levels 10 or less. But what it means is that Annalise had insulin resistance. She has diabetes that runs in her family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that means that she had had elevated blood sugars for a period of time, and her organs were no longer listening to the signal from insulin to take in that blood glucose. So as a result, that extra blood glucose in her system went to her liver and got converted to fat and then got deposited in her body, mainly around the midsection. Once you have insulin resistance, it becomes very, very difficult to reverse that process unless you have a focused, low-carb, intermittent fasting, strength training approach. Mm-hmm. So what I got to, again, tout the importance of fasting insulin levels. I think they're more important than cholesterol levels. They certainly were in Annalise's case.
Right.
And they should be routine, but they're rarely done except by some select OB-GYN doctors, usually occasionally looking for polycystic ovary disease, which she does not have. So basically, she was fighting a battle that would have been difficult for her to win based on that insulin level and her level of insulin resistance. So she needed a targeted program to reverse that.
All right, so yeah. Let's go through something that's always kind of plagued me for a question. There's something called the freshman 15. This is not the freshman 15 where you go off to school and you gain 15 pounds, mm-hmm. right? This was something completely different, correct?
Yes.
By the way, what is the freshman 15? Do we have any clue why that happens?
Well, historically, I think it has to do with, you get to college and you get, as much food as you want to eat served to you, usually good food. So the colleges I've been and seen to lately. You're studying, so your activity might decrease.
Okay.
And so, I think it has a tendency to refer to women, but it refers to men as well. People gain weight. And it is during a period in your life when that insulin level can start rising, shortly after, the hormonal changes of puberty within 5 years of that. And so that can be an issue. So you got to have a plan to reverse that.
Okay, so yeah. Annalise, tell me, you before you met Dr. Paul, you were doing something on your own. You were doing the training, dieting, and then all of a sudden you hit a wall.
Yeah, I was doing gluten free, dairy free. I was going to the gym for 3 hours at a time, and I did lose 20 pounds, but I hit a wall. I stopped losing weight.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, 2 years ago over a year and a half, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so a year and a half ago. And then because you went home or you told somebody, your mother, is that right?
Yeah.
And you said, Mom, I'm having a hard time. I got to do something.
Yeah.
She found Dr. Paul.
Well, and the good thing about me and my mom's relationship is that we'll just call it how it is. She's like, you've gained a little bit of weight. Like, I think there's something going on. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I think there's something like internally wrong. And so we went, got blood work done, and that's when we found out that I was insulin resistant. Because we also checked for diabetes, since it does run in our family. I wasn't diabetic. I wasn't even pre-diabetic. We also looked into PCOS, and I didn't have that either. So,
what is PCOS?
Polycystic ovary syndrome. Sometimes people with that, a lot of cysts on the ovaries, have high insulin levels.
Okay.
But she makes a point that's an excellent one, which is insulin resistance can start years and years before you're even pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. So that train can be heading down the tracks. And unfortunately, our current healthcare system has a tendency not to address that. It's kind of like, oh, if your blood sugar is a little bit high, we'll just keep an eye on it for another year.
Right.
Whereas, I think that's a period of time when people first are diagnosed with insulin resistance or have blood sugars approaching the pre-diabetic range where lights and sirens should be going off. It's time to address it now before that insulin resistance progresses and it's very hard to reverse.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Annalise, your mother reached out to Dr. Paul. You got an appointment set up.
And, yes.
And what was the very first thing that you guys had the conversation about? What was that?
Me and Dr. Paul's conversation?
If you can share that, yeah.
Oh, I told him the history of stuff that was going on. My mom did Mounjaro, so she talked to him about her history with that.
Now, was your mom a patient?
No.
Of you?
No.
No? Okay.
No, she was not. She's lost quite a bit of weight, too. And so we talked to him about that. Then we started doing trial stuff with the CGM. Got blood work. Yeah.
And then, and when you came back and met with her after the 2 week period, what did you decide to do?
So we looked at her insulin resistance. We looked at her spikes on the CGM. We looked at her other lab work. I don't think cholesterol was an issue for you at all. So really, then it's like, let's focus on this insulin resistance issue and getting it down because it'll help you lose weight. And as I do with all my patients before they begin medicine, we put the lifestyle changes in place.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, that was targeting low carb. I think we probably did 50 grams or less.
But you were doing like that before, right? You were gluten-free, fat-free, taste-free kind of thing.
Yeah, but I wasn't focused on the protein part of it. I think that's okay. The biggest part is protein.
Okay.
So, limiting the carbs, making sure she gets adequate protein. And one thing I admire about Annalise is she really gets the activity workout component. And she really, really gets the importance of strength training within that framework with the emphasis on that. So we focused on what are your intermittent fasting hours are gonna be. Let's keep your carbs under this. Let's keep your protein above this. And let's talk about your strength training routine. And before we even began the medicine, she embraced that and made progress.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And because you're a young girl, right, was this an emotional journey for you where you kind of like emotions were high on this whole thing?
Oh, for sure. Because I was trying everything in my power to lose weight, you know, going to the gym for 3 hours and killing myself.
Yeah, that's got to be hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just wasn't working.
So that you met him a year ago. So let's say 10 months ago, she went on, what did you go on, the semaglutide?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another aspect of this that I think is important is, as I do with most of my patients, we kept her doses low and moderate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, we don't go up to the, you know, maximum Wegovy doses. We go a little bit over half that. And the reason for that is she's a young woman. I don't want her to be committed to having to be on medicine for the rest of her life. So we used small doses to begin with, actually moved her up to a moderate dose, never got to high doses. And then recently it moved you back down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the plan is to, you know, go slowly moving up, get only to moderate, not high doses, and then look at titrating back down.
Okay.
Because of the issues of muscle mass loss with the medicine,
right,
which she has countered with all her strength training,
mm-hmm.
And then the issue of potential weight gain when you come off the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so 10 months going on there. So what was your weight, you think, before you went on the weight loss medicine? Do you remember what your weight was?
It was 230.
You were at 230?
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, let's go try to put you on something, and you started that. How quickly did things start to change for you at that point?
Well, I think in the first couple of weeks or month or so, it was slow. You know, I was losing about like 1 to 1.5 pounds per week.
Yep.
And
by the way, how did you feel when you first went on the medicine?
I felt pretty good. You know, I didn't notice huge, huge change. I think my body was, you know, getting used to it. Yeah, I didn't notice huge change, but then I gradually did.
Wait, you mean you graduated up or graduated? Why don't I?
I think she
that?
Said gradually.
Gradually.
Oh, gradually. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like when we up the dosage.
Okay, and then as you up the dosage, did your weight start to come off faster?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And you went from 230 to 160.
169.
169. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of weight to lose in eight months.
Yes.
And have you adjusted well to that? I mean, new clothes and all that, those kind of things.
Oh yeah, I was a size 18, sometimes 20, and now I'm a size 8.
Wow.
So that is drastic change.
Gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, and it's great. I'm going to interject on. It's great, again, to see a young person make this change. And I work with a number of young patients, teenagers. And again, to see, you know, diabetes in the family, see them change their direction and know that they're never going back to those risks. I've had, you know, an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old lose 60 and 40 pounds, respectively. The medicines are approved for kids as young as 14. And there's been a lot of studies indicating low carb is appropriate. They get to an age where they can do strength training. So they basically can do an adult program. Now, I don't do that without complete parental buy-in, which was the case with you, even though you were 19, and buy-in from the primary care doctor, pediatrician, or family practice
doctor. Let me ask you a question about that. Why didn't the primary care doctor do this? Did you ask him?
I did not ask him. I don't even think he really had knowledge, because when I started this, it was still a little bit new to everyone.
But didn't he see you were overweight? Wasn't he concerned about that? He didn't care?
I mean, he never even mentioned my insulin resistance stuff.
So that's kind of what we've talked about before, right? Your primary care doc, no offense to them, they're busy. Yeah. They just don't have the time they need to understand.
They don't. It's a 20-minute visit for a young person once or twice a year. You start getting into all these issues. They're, you know, again, got very regimented schedules. We've talked about the, you know, healthcare in America now, where the docs are generally working for large health systems. And I don't know Annalisa's situation specifically, but you know, they've got limited time. They're quite honestly focused on disease management. You know, if you've got disease, then we'll use this medicine or that medicine or this medicine. And what we're focused on is a lifestyle change. So I really think there is a lot of value to go into a practitioner that this is what they do or all they do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Annalise, can I ask a question? And you tell me if you don't want to talk about this, fine. Before you lost the weight, you know, as a young teen, you were back in, I'm sure you were struggling with this as a teen, right? Mm-hmm. Well, emotionally, that was a burden to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what has changed in your emotional status now that you've lost this weight and you're looking like a supermodel, right? How has that affected you emotionally?
Oh, it's been an emotional roller coaster altogether. You know, I've done several diets in the past, and they've all been, like, super temporary. I think that was the biggest emotional part. And now with all of this, my emotions, they're a lot more strong. I'm like, hey, you've done all of this work, and you're still continuing to do the work. You know, you can't let all of this go. Because, you know, like he said, we are going back down on the dosage. And so, like, I don't want to lose any of this hard work, but I feel, you know, like I have my head on straight now, and I don't feel scared about gaining weight because I'm so steady.
So let's go back 3 years. You go to a restaurant. What would you normally order? And what, you know, I'm going to ask you now, what would you normally order if you go to the same restaurant? So what would you order 3 years ago?
Probably some sort of carbs.
Okay.
Because I loved carbs.
Who doesn't love carbs?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Now I'm so focused on protein. I'm like, if my meal does not have protein in it, I'm not eating. That's just how I roll. And also, this medicine helps you, your appetite be suppressed. So I don't eat as much as I would have used to 3 years ago.
Right.
It's really helped me with portions and stuff like that. And even like, you know, if I have a cookie, like I'm not having three cookies. I'm not having five cookies. I'm having like half of a cookie. Like I don't have to starve myself or, you know, miss out on, you know, stuff around the holidays, but it is about, you know, portion and protein and stuff like that.
Got it.
Well, I got a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
You asked her how, you know, the emotional issues. She's so confident now, you know.
Was she like that when you met her?
You know, I would say she was a little bit more hesitant, a little bit more reserved. Now she, if I may, maybe a little bit more extroverted. Mm-hmm. And just exudes confidence. Now, you know, I know she's matured going to college and that as she enters young adulthood. But it's just, you know, great to see her just have this confidence about herself.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very impressive person, Annalise, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
You've been fantastic to talk to.
Thanks.
Have we left anything out we want to talk about, Dr. Paul?
No, just other than if you're going to use these medicines, I really believe they should be used the right way. I've used this term before, Terry. It's kind of the Wild West out there. You can get on the internet and have somebody give you medicine, and we'll see you in 4 months, and good luck, and no coordinated program. And again, there are risks to these medicines in terms of side effects of the medicines, making sure that you should be on the medicine and you don't have a condition that would prevent you from being on the medicine, might put you at risk for different kinds of cancers, for example. And go ahead and enter a program like this with your eyes open and do the other lifestyle things that you need to do while you're on the medicine so that you don't lose muscle mass. Big issue in women because of the osteoporosis issue as they get older. And also, you can titrate off the medicines without significant weight gain. And all the studies show if you just take medicine, you're going to lose muscle mass and you're going to gain weight when you go off the medicine. But if you have a complete lifestyle change, as Annalise has had, and embrace it fully, including the workouts, including the high protein, et cetera, then you're going to have success.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you truly are. I wish people could see a picture of you because you're just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It's been fun having you here because I think helping young people is the key.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get them young, then their lives are going to be so much healthier and better for them.
I'm kind of on a mission in that regard because, you know, the overall gain, you know, it's great when you have an older person that makes changes as well, but really you can change the course of a young person's life, a teenager's life. It's very, very satisfying. And like with her and some of the other young people I've had, they're never going back. There's no chance she's ever going to go back to where she was before.
All right, Annalise, I'm going to let you have the last word here. As there might be some people like you out there who are struggling, what message would you like to leave them with?
Oh, a message. I mean, if I was speaking to my younger self, I mean, I would say, like, you've got this. Like, you've tried everything in the past. Like, you've just got this. Like, I don't know what more I could say.
Maybe don't give up. There's hope.
Yeah.
Because there's so much news about this stuff on the right. Every time you turn a TV on, we've talked about this for upteen podcasts now. This is like a miracle thing for folks to help them with weight.
Yeah.
So your basically message to those young folks are, you've got this.
You can do this. Worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Like, it's not just a temporary change. It's a lifestyle change. And, like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, I agree. Well, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Metabolic MD with Dr. Paul Kalozic.
And I want to thank you, too.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and there'll be a parting gift for you, a bottle of free water up there on the counter. All right, folks, this has been the Metabolic MD with Dr. Paul Kalozic. We will see you soon.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Metabolic MD with Dr. Paul Kalozic. Please join us again for the next episode to hear how your metabolic health means everything and to learn tips on how to lose weight and possibly reverse some serious health conditions. This information is not meant to be medical advice. Please seek consultation from your own medical professional.